The next one of the attributes in the series of mi'utz that we will discuss is mi'ut ta'anug, decreasing or lessening the amount of pleasure that we have in the world. And the idea here seems to be one which we find in a number of places in Chazal, which describe the apparent incompatibility of gashmius, of physicality, and Torah, or ruchnius, spirituality, on the other hand. For example, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, tells us, Lo timsa Torah b'mishe michya mechaya atzmo aleha. You won't find Torah with someone whose whole life is based on it, someone whose life is overindulgent. The Rambam in Hichos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis, quotes and paraphrases this Gemara, and tells us that Divrei Torah will not be miskayimin unless we have someone who is be'elu, shalom de mitoch idun o mitoch achila v'shtia. You won't find someone who is mekayim Torah, who can sustain Torah, if they're learning with the idun pleasures and achila and shtia, eating and drinking. Rather, ele b'misha meimis atzmo aleha u'mitzar gufo tamid. Very striking, stark formulation of the Rambam that there must be a separation, if you will, between physicality and indulgence on the one hand, and the ability to accomplish Torah on the other hand. The Braisa and Avos, Rabbi Nason, Perek Kaf Ches, tells us, Kol makabel alav ta'anugi olam hazeh, monin mimenu mitanuge olam haba. Anyone who accepts upon himself, hard to know how to translate that more broadly, but perhaps it means someone who's committed to Tanune olam hazeh, or perhaps it means even more extreme, just has any pleasures or benefits. Monin mimenu tanig olam haba. They won't have the pleasures of olam haba. V'chol she'enu makabel olav tanuge olam hazeh, nosen lo tanuge olam haba. There seems to be, here in the Avos Rabbi Nason, a zero-sum game. It's one or the other. And as one final example, the Tosfos in Ksubos and Daf Kuf Dalid quotes a medrash, which I believe may go back to a Tana de Be'el Yehu, but Tosfos just quotes the Amrina de Medrash, Ad she'adam espalel she'kanes she'ichnes Torah letoch gufo, before a person is davening that they should be successful, and Torah should, so to speak, enter their body, yispal shelo yichnesu ma'adanim letoch gufo. He should first daven that pleasures and delicacies shouldn't enter his body. Again, there seems to be an extreme, a zero-sum game, or at the very least, a hierarchy and a prioritization that in order to have Torah, a prerequisite seems to be not to have too much gashmius or physicality or indulgences. These and other sources outline this basic idea, this basic incompatibility. The question is why? Why should this be so? That's not always clear in the sources. And I think that there are two interpretations that are possible of these sources, and more broadly, this question of why physical pleasure and indulgence seems to be incompatible with learning and Avodas Hashem. One possibility, what I'll call the mystical or objective approach, is offered by the Maharal here in Derech Chaim. He writes, Ki harodef achar ha'tanugim hagufanim harehu ba'al guf u'ba'al chomer. If you're pursuing, if you run after, if you make a priority of your life to be going after physical pleasures, then you become a ba'al guf, a ba'al chomer. You become a physical, overly physical creature. And as such, ein ro'i sh'yikn ha'chachma sh'hu hefech ha'guf. As a result, you simply are not fit to accept and acquire Torah and chachma, which is just the opposite of physicality and guf and chomri, which is in fact ruchni, spiritual. In other words, what the Maharal seems to be saying is that a life of physicality and physical pleasure is incompatible with the spiritual Torah. Such a person is simply not a suitable kli kibul. We've seen this idea in the past, especially from the Maharal, that part of Avodat Hashem, and specifically these Memches Kinyanei Torah, are ways to make ourselves into kli kibul, into appropriate receptacles, the type of people for whom Torah can exist within us. And that's complicated because we're physical human beings by nature and Torah is spiritual by nature. So we're trying to somehow meld ourselves into the appropriate human being who can contain and possess and master this spiritual thing, Torah. So says the Derech Chaim, if you have Riboy Tanug instead of Miut Tanug, then you're just going to be too gufani, too chomri. You simply cannot be a proper or fitting or capable home for Torah. It would be like pouring water into a cup with holes and asking, well, why isn't the water staying in? It just simply can't. It's physically, and in this case, metaphysically, incompatible. That's the first approach. But I think that the more common approach is to look at it in a way that I would say is not so much this mystical or quote-unquote objective approach, as much as it relates to the mindset and motivation of the person. To learn, you need to have the right mindset and values. If your head is in, so to speak, food, money, or other physical pleasures, it can't be in the learning because it is so completely different and offers, Torah does, such a different form of satisfaction and pleasure. If you are wired to or focused on the more physical pleasures, you simply won't be able to also, and at the same time, be focused on, let alone benefit from, the type of pleasure or benefit that something spiritual like Torah can provide. And similarly, in terms of your motivation, learning is hard, as we all know, and takes tremendous effort. And if you want success, you have to be hungry for it. You have to have that tremendous motivation. And sometimes the best way to be hungry for learning, quote-unquote, is to be hungry. In other words, literally, not too comfortable, not too indulgent, not too satisfied physically, but rather in a mindset, in a physical way, to be hungry, motivated to learn. This idea is expressed in a number of sources, all quite suggestive and powerful. For example, Baba Basra, Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan criticizes Rabbi Chiya that he was wrong in what they were discussing in the Gemara, and he, you know, challenges them. He says, you know why you're wrong, why you don't understand this? Ad achalta kanafaisa bebavel, which basically means you were eating these wonderful or very succulent or luxurious birds, this food in Bavel. And the Rashbam there says, Shahayisa ma'adein atmecha, you are overindulging, you are pleasuring yourself, v'lo hayita oseik b'torah, and as a result, you weren't focused and involved in your learning. Note that the Rashbam is not saying anything like the Maharal, that you are somehow metaphysically incompatible with possessing, understanding Torah. He's saying if your focus is on being ma'adein atzmecha, if your focus is on those kind of luxuries, it's only natural that you won't be oseik b'torah. You're just not going to be focused on and spending time in the Beis Medrash and learning because you're going to be distracted or tempted by these other things. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Perkei Avos and Perek Beis says you cannot learn if you are marbe b'idonin. And I think that is the similar idea. The luxuries will tempt you and take you away. And Rabbeinu Bachaye in the Chovos HaLevavos in his Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh Perek Gimel makes this point using a very powerful metaphor, which he quotes in the name of one of the philosophers, Echad min HaChachamim, Ka'asher lo yischabru b'kli echad hamayim v'aish, just like in one kli, one utensil, you can't have fire and water coexisting, they are simply opposite. Kein lo tischaber b'leiv hama'amin, similarly, you can't have coexisting in the heart of the believer, ahavas olam hazeh v'ahavas olam haba, the love or the lust for pleasures of this world and the love for or the desire for the pleasures of the next world. And again here also with his modifier of ahavas, I think Rabbeinu Bachai is speaking about this issue, the mindset of a person and his motivation, what matters to him, what gives a person pleasure. I don't believe he's saying in some objective sense they can't coexist. What can exist is not olam hazeh and olam haba per se, but the ahavas olam hazeh. If a person is loving and wanting, and that's the desire and the pleasure of his life, then it's simply not going to work, and you're not going to be able to have a different ahava. A person has one true love, basically, he's saying. It's either ahavas olam hazeh or ahavas olam haba. Similarly, the Ben Yehoyada translates the Gemara, which we've seen in some of the previous shurim, the Gemara Nedarim Pe'alef, that Hizharu b'bnei aniyim k'mihem teitzei Torah, should be very careful with the children of poor people, because from those children will come Torah. Well, why is that? Why is it children of poor people? Says Ibn Yoyada, because they're not spoiled with pleasures and luxuries. They have not been raised on ahavas olam hazeh, to use the term. They have not been raised on being ma'adei natzmacha. They don't have the money to indulge in these delicacies and pleasures. And therefore, memela, they have the space, if you will, to develop the ahavas olam haba. The Taz, Shulchan Aruch, Or HaChaim, Simin Mem Zayin, also makes the point that who are going to be the ones who can learn Torah? Osam shalomdim divrei Torah mitoch oneg ve'einim yigiyim ba. He's explaining the Gemara about in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that people weren't learning a proper way, that might have been the cause of the Chorban. He says those are people who are learning mitoch oneg. They were learning in a pleasurable way, ve'einim yigiyim ba. As a result, einat Torah miskayimus aslam. Again, because of the oneg, or the idan, he says they didn't put in the effort. Einam yegiim ba. Again, once you're on that road of pleasure and indulgence, very, very hard to be motivated to also then focus on learning. It's easy to get spoiled and to get a taste for the physical and the material, and you lose your taste or your motivation and the willingness to work on the spiritual. In a far less extreme way, but still quite astounding, almost shocking claim, there's a somewhat well-known story or quote from Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich that he says in the name of his Rebbe, the great Reb Chaim of Brisk, that when you read the Sefer of Shagas Aryeh, and then you read the Sefer of the Turei Eben, now those are both written by the same person, but the Shagas Aryeh apparently was written first. That's a more general book of Chuvos or Lamdusha general essays, as opposed to Turei Eben, which is written on a few Masechtos, written on Shas, but apparently was written later. So Rav Baruch Ber quoted Rav Chaim that if you look at them carefully, to the average person, to someone like me, they both seem brilliant. But apparently Rav Chaim was much more impressed with the Shagas Aryeh. He says that it's an even more impressive work. And he then explained why he thought that was. Because when the Shagas Aryeh was written, the author was the Rav of Volozhin, and they had nothing. The community was very, very poor, and all the people, including the rabbi, lived in abject poverty. As opposed to Turei Eben, which was written later in his rabbinic career, when he was already the Rav in Metz, which was a far more comfortable and affluent community, and the rabbi lived a more comfortable life. So he's not saying about Chas v'Shalom, the Shagas Aryeh or the Turei Eben, that he somehow abandoned Torah, he didn't have Torah, but on his level, Rav Chaim's level, that he was able to make such a claim, which most people would never have the audacity to make such a claim, but on his level, the author, who was a great, great Gadol, one of the Gedolei HaAchronim, there was a Yerida, Rav Chaim claimed, and the Yerida was because he was more comfortable, and apparently, therefore, Rav Chaim was suggesting, was not learning mitoch Yegia, was not Osek on the level that he had been and that he was capable of when he wrote his first sefer, the Shagas Aryeh. Really quite amazing. Another interesting thing which emerges in the Mefarshim here is that some are bothered by what they perceive as an apparent contradiction between our Brisa of Miut Tanug and the very immediately preceding Brisa, which tells us Kachi Darko Shel Torah Pasu Melech Tochal, that the way of Torah is a person should be eating bread and salt and other privations, disgusting, or minimal water, and sleeping on the floor, and general physical privations. So that seems to be requiring everyone to be ascetics if they want to learn Torah. And yet our price, as we've mentioned, seems to be just requiring miut tanug. Some tanug seems to be the okay. Ribui is what's prohibited. But miut, as long as you have a little bit, that's okay. So I would suggest, at least perhaps according to the Rambam, I'm not sure it's a contradiction at all. I'll share this thought with you I just recently had, which is that the Rambam quotes this in the Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Vav, And the way he formulates it, I'll read you the key line, is Misha nasu libo lakayim mitzvah zukar oy liyosot mukutar or mukhtar beketer Torah. Someone who wants to really learn on the highest level and get that keter Torah, lo yasiach daito l'dvarim acherim, should not be distracted, lo yosim al libo shiikne Torah im ha'osher v'hakavod ka'achas. Don't think that at the same time you can have osher, wealth, and honor at the same time with Torah. Ki kachi darko shel Torah, pas b'ach tochal, mayim, sleep on the floor, chayitzar, etc. So it seems to me that perhaps the Rambam is interpreting pas b'ach tochal as the opposite of osher v'kavod at the same time as Torah. Now, I'm not sure that that's how I would translate or interpret the Mishnah or the Braisa here in Pirkei Avos, but if one extreme which is being denied is you can't have Torah if you want osher v'chavod at the same time, that doesn't seem to be a contradiction with miut. It sounds like they're actually really describing the same thing. Don't run after osher v'chavod and think you can have that, those extremes, wealth and honor at the same time as Torah, but miut, just the minimum that you need. So I'm not sure that works with every bit of the formulation of the Rambam, but if that would be correct, then that seems to resolve the contradiction in and of itself. However, a number of the Mefarshim here in Pirkei Avos here in the Brisa of Kinyan Torah seem to take a different approach, and that the reason that there is no contradiction or the way they resolve the contradiction is to assume that the two statements of Chazal are referring to different people. The initial statement of Pas B'ach Tochal is not saying that everyone must be ascetic, but that if you don't have anything, if you truly are impoverished, don't abandon Torah, but be willing, as the Midrash Shmuel says, be willing to still nevertheless learn. Don't abandon Torah, even if you have so little. The Maharal and Derech HaChaim seems to say more or less the same thing, which is that, again, there's no per se obligation to be so impoverished, but if Nebuch a person is, im lo yuchal lilmod, rak mo ochal pas b'melach, b'chol advar mashin isbar l'mayla, yesh lo lasos. You should be willing. How dedicated must you be to learning? You should be willing, theoretically, hypothetically, and if lo aleinu it is realistically, then so too. You should be willing to live with pas b'melach tochal. If you have that attitude, you'll never swerve from your commitment to learning, then you'll have a Kinyan Torah. Or as more recently, Rav Matisyahu Solomon suggested in his Shiurim in the Matnas Chaim, if a person has a dilemma and the only way they can improve their physical situation, their material situation, would be to abandon learning, that's what the first Brisa is telling us. Pas b'ach tochal, yoter tov shelo ya'azuv az limudo v'yishar b'tzar milavakish lahetiv matzavo ulama'et b'torasan. So again, to the extent that he's referring to the question of somebody who would, let's say, learning in yeshiva, learning in kolel, and now, let's say, is married and has financial responsibilities, at what point do you say, I'm responsible for a family, I need to support them, and close the Gemara and get to work? I'm not sure exactly what Matisyahu Solomon would say. I'm not sure that other people would all agree with what Matisyahu Solomon would say, but I don't think we have to get to that question, which would clearly, I would think at least, vary from situation to situation. But more broadly, the level of commitment that's being required of us is if one truly wants to be zocha to Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, to be a true Talmud Chacham, so we're being told, again, if Nebuch, you're in that situation, don't close the Gemara, don't abandon your learning just to make it better, but still persevere despite the hardships. That's all the way they interpret Pas B'ach Tochal. That's for such a person, Nebuch. However, our Braisa, Miut Tanug, that's talking about someone completely different, someone who doesn't have such a terrible situation, who's not in a deprived situation. He has his physical needs met. He has material pleasures that are available to him. And nevertheless, says the Braisa, if you want to really live a spiritual life, if you want to have a life that allows you to be zocha in Keser Torah, then don't overindulge. As the Medrash Shmuel says, curtail your pleasures, even if you have them, even you could have them. Exercise moderation. Or as the Maharal says, again, l'shita sof, from what we saw before, don't make yourself into somebody who's too chomri. If you have tanug yoser midai, then al yasem, don't do that. Bishumshum no tebeze el tabas hagufan yos. That will take you too far to the extreme, and your whole orientation will be towards physical pleasures. Bezehefech Torah. And that's the opposite of Torah, as we saw from the Maharal himself earlier. Then you make yourself into the type of physical being who's simply incompatible to be a kli kibul for Torah. So you have stuff. You're not somebody who barely has what to eat and can barely make a living. You have. Nevertheless, don't overindulge in it. And as Ramati Solomon puts it, again, the key is don't be rodef achar ta'anugim. Don't run after those pleasures, because that is the problem. Or as he puts it a little bit later, if yesh lo mitanugi olam hazeh, if you have the material means, nevertheless, the ikar is shlo lishakeya biyam ha'idonim. Don't become completely submerged, sunk into what he calls the sea of pleasures, the sea of delicacies. Rakba miyatanug will be zocha to keter Torah. So, broadly speaking, all these different mafarshim, that Rav Shmuel, Der Chaim, Matnas Chaim, they resolve the contradiction by saying it refers to different people. Pas melach tochal means someone who is nebuch, already in a very difficult financial state, but nevertheless should be willing to be committed to Torah despite that. And our b'raisa, miyotanag, refers to someone who has, thankfully, material possibilities and physical means, monetary means, nevertheless exercises that moderation. Speaking of moderation, in conclusion, I think that the point of our b'raisa, and certainly a general yisod, foundational, axiomatic part of Avodas Hashem, is to live with moderation when it comes to our physical needs and physical pleasures. We are all, or at least most of us, familiar with the Ramban's famous interpretation of the Pasuk, the command of Kedoshim Tiyu. What does that mean to be holy? And the Ramban says it doesn't mean to avoid the things that the Torah already prohibited. Rather, it means to exercise moderation with the things that the Torah permitted. Kadesh Atzmecha, Mutar Lach. Don't be overindulgent, whether it's in sexual pleasures, gastronomical pleasures, or other physical pleasures. The Torah gives boundaries when it's permissible, but don't become, as we saw before, someone who is shakua in them, totally submerged in them, exercise moderation. That's well known. But I think perhaps it's less well known, but a very beautiful interpretation, or formulation, I should say, is in the Chovos HaLevavos. We previously quoted him in the Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, and a little bit after the part we quoted earlier in the Shir, he continues and says that basically, as we saw previously, a person cannot love Olam Hazeh and love Olam Haba at the same point. A person has one true love, and whichever one you pick, on some level, it must come at the expense of the other. On the other hand, as he continues, not on the other hand, but he, I should say, but the Rabbeinu B'chai, the Chovos HaLevavos, continues, and he says that, nevertheless, you shouldn't think that you want to go to the extreme of Ruchnius as well. One has to be connected to both of them. You can't go to one extreme and think that that'll be okay. We also have to have a certain balance, a moderation. And just to read a few lines from the Chovos HaLevavos, I think it's a very, very insightful and excellent formulation. He says, on the one hand, im tiyeh machshavtcha al tikun gufcha, v'tasim kol hashkascha alav, hashkascha alav, if your focus and all of your thinking is on what's best for your body, you'll be ignoring and hidden from you what is necessary for your soul. But on the other hand, if you only focus on what's good for your soul, you'll ignore many of the things which are necessary for your body. And therefore, min ha-zrizus, what's the proper fitting thing to do? Shetagbir es nafshecha ha-kayam eslecha al-gufcha ha-kala. You have to make a priority, and the priority is your soul. That has to come first. That's the eternal, true part of who you are, and that has to be the main thing. V'al takser binyanim ha-tzrichim ma'od l'gufcha v'tachbir alav v'tach li-shehu. On the other hand, you shouldn't... even though you're prioritizing your soul, but don't, so to speak, as we would say, be cheap about it. I'll take care of don't be short-sighted. Don't give short shrift to the things which are truly necessary for your body, because if you do that, you'll really weaken yourself. You'll really damage yourself. That's a tremendous insight. He says it's not just that if you go too far and only focus on the neshama in the short term, you will hurt your body or your material needs, even the legitimate ones. But ultimately, such a thing will lead to chalishas shnehem. You'll end up hurting both. He doesn't explain why that's so, but I think the simple reason is because ultimately, after a person is too deprived physically, they will have no choice but to revert to the other extreme and put all their energies into making up for lost time or for lost material needs and focusing all their attention on saving their physical body, and then at that point you'll eventually hurt your soul. In an extreme example, as we unfortunately have seen, if a person spends too much time focused on their neshama and as a result they're completely impoverished, sometimes people are even tempted to cut corners in the law and legalities and even steal so that they can do the bare minimum for themselves and their family. And on the one hand, it's indefensible. On the other hand, it's understandable as a result of the initial mistake. In other words, Sezachovs Lavavos, it's almost inevitable that there will be the need for a correction, even if it's an inappropriate correction, by focusing too exclusively and too much on just one thing, on just an neshama. Eventually, not only will your body suffer because of that, your material needs suffer, but as a result of your material needs suffering, on some level, eventually your spiritual needs will suffer, even if it doesn't come to the extreme of a person needing, God forbid, to steal, but just all of a sudden then, instead of being balanced and being able to learn and work, but having spent so much time only learning, a person may be so desperate that they then need to only work. So again, the application in the real world to these things is obviously nuanced and complicated, but the basic points of truths of what he's saying and articulating, I think, are pretty clear and quite compelling. And he concludes, therefore, avoltein l'gufcha hamazon asher yamidenu al yono. Instead, what's the proper way to do things? Give your body the food that it needs to be healthy. And again, here I don't think it should be limited just to the issue of food. It's the broader issue, the material needs, the financial things, the basic things that you need to take care of. V'tein l'nafshecha menachachmos ha-musarim yoser ha-michota. But at the same time, make sure that you can always focus on your neshama as a priority and give them the machachmos and the musar and the Torah even more than the bare minimum. Focus that as for your ambition and for the primary part of your life. That truly would be an example of miut. That's not the priority. The priority is the neshama.